I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's an S-Pod thing, the podcast revisiting S-Club 7's insane TV show.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone's binge-watched this, anyone who's not on drugs.
Thank you for bringing this into my life. It was honestly truly appalling.
Guests helped me analyse the show in more detail than anyone ever asked for.
It feels weird to me to say the phrase sex object in a show that was aimed at six-year-olds.
Do you think this is one of the problems with the show is that 7 is too much?
It's an S-Pod thing from Great Big Owl.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
All of television history is contained in the Box of Delights. Hello, I'm Julia Rayside. Each episode, my guest chooses a favourite TV memory to talk about. Joining me today is the actor and writer Yusuf Kerkal. Yusuf, thanks for coming.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Hello. Now, first of all, I didn't recognise you because you haven't got your big beard. I was a bit disappointed.
I left it home.
Or the cardigan. It turns out you're not your character at all.
Let me tell you, I haven't seen my face in 9 years.
Oh, God, really?
I married my wife who'd never seen me without a beard.
How is she handling the whole half-naked face
thing? I used to
thing?
Threaten to shave it off, but I kept it for work because I started aiming for those kind of parts and I got them. And so the beard was very useful and then my wife just loved it. And every time I threatened to shave it off, she would start crying. And I'd think,
I know how she feels.
So I just hit that trend sweet spot.
You did?
Yeah.
It's gotten you quite the career, let's face it. Not just the beard. I mean, some of it's your talent.
But you see, I have no chin and there's all these weird bits about the face.
You do have a chin.
Well, I have four of them at the moment.
But it was Christmas. We all had a good time.
It's been Christmas for me all year.
Cheers to that. So tell me, what have you brought to talk about today?
I have brought Succession.
And punching the air.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite things on TV in the last God knows how many years.
I agree. I've said the words. It's right up there with Sopranos.
Yes.
Might actually have tipped. It's neck and neck with Breaking Bad.
I'm with you.
And may have just tipped past.
Wow.
And
we only have two series to go on. Like series three is in the works as we record. So we're looking forward to that. Your part in it presumably is just in the post. You must be, surely.
I have started the campaign.
You lived in New York for years, right? So
I
you
did,
can do
yeah.
the accent, I'm guessing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey.
It's there.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll just nudge the casting director because this is, you know.
Sweet, sweet.
They're taking the piss now.
Sweet,
taking
no,
too long.
Of course.
So, Succession is Jesse Armstrong's incredible show about the Roy family in New York. They're a bit like the Murdochs, but they're not the Murdochs, but they are the Murdochs, but they're not the Murdochs.
Yeah.
And they're a kind of a media empire conglomerate family. Waystar Royco is their company.
Yeah.
And Brian Cox is the patriarch. And at the beginning of the first series, he looks like he might be on his last legs. And they're all jostling for position to see who'll get the top job when he dies. Then he doesn't die. Spoilers. So, when did you first see this and what made you love it? So
I started watching it because people had been talking about it and the name keeps popping up the way it does nowadays because we consume media in a different way.
Yeah.
So the more you see a name, you decide to watch it. And I did not expect to see the synergy of writing, acting, production value, focus on long-term storytelling and the commitment to the long form. I was absolutely hooked from the first moment, you know?
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
the theme tune though.
The theme tune is,
we've discussed it before, I think, on the podcast, but one of the best theme tunes. I don't know why it is or what they did or how they did that, but those piano
It just tells
chords.
You everything. Oh. It reminds me of The Game.
Yeah.
Do you ever see that game? This 8mm film of a father and his child, and you can just see wealthy neglect and all the rest of
yes,
it.
Yes, it's the emotional coldness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's something very emotionally cold about that.
Absolutely.
Music. It's brilliant.
And the word empire is good because it's, you know, like the Roman Empire, brutality is respected.
Yes.
And care and empathy is a sign of weakness.
Yeah, no one is soft. Exactly.
No one's soft because then none in their world, you're unloved.
Yeah.
If you're soft, but if you're hard and brutal,
yeah,
then, you know, if you can put your humanity to one side, then,
yes,
then you get closer to the family.
That's it. That's why you can't have a part in it, because I'm sure you could play that, but I just wouldn't believe it because you're too lovely.
Hey, man, you know, the problem with me is if I play those kind of guys, I can't really have any lines.
No,
I just have to
look
stand there
terrifying.
And then get shot in the head. It's just kind of what's my bread and butter, really.
Slightly the downside of like that particular look we're talking about. But hey, anyway, so back to Succession.
Yeah.
So the episode that you'd like to zero in on is from the second series.
It's
really hard to pick a favourite, isn't it? I think if I went series one, I'd go the Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah.
That's a Georgia Pritchard episode that I think I might have... You know when something's so incredible, you can't see how it's done, it's like a Kate Bush song?
Oh, yeah.
You just go, well, I don't know where she even thought of it. And it's just it's so beautifully done. So this episode that you've picked, it's episode 8 from series 2.
Yeah.
Explain what happens and why you love it.
The family go to Dundee,
mm-hmm.
Which is where Logan Roy's childhood home is.
Yeah, and this is Brian Cox. Presumably they decided to use
Brian Cox, who
the fact
is from Dundee,
is.
Yeah, and who had a very hard upbringing himself. He was poor. So Logan Roy has now gone back to Dundee to be given this award in his hometown.
Yeah.
He clearly hasn't been back, you know, we're meant to assume ever.
I think it's fair to assume ever. He lives in New York. He runs his empire. He has houses and yachts. And why would you go to Dundee?
Exactly.
No offense.
He's wealthier than money. And he's now has to go back to Dundee. And the scene in particular is when he's in the car with his son, played by Alan Ruck.
Oh, God, I know. Who's obviously from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Ferris Bueller has just made this stunning comeback.
And now he's this kind of like peppery, grey-haired sort of old sage, isn't he? He's amazing.
Yeah, he's got his sort of, the Michael J. Fox series that he was in. But anyway.
Oh, I know. Spin City?
Spin City. Mini extension of that character a little bit, but still really brilliant psycho bubbling under the surface.
Yeah.
But they're in a car ride going to a house or something.
Yeah.
And Logan Roy looks out the window and sees a bandstand and goes, oh, it's still there.
That's a really good impression, by the way.
And he goes, oh, it's still there. And he starts talking. He starts trying to talk about the past.
Yeah. And he's a very unsentimental man when it comes to...
He's Mr. Cold, Mr. Ice.
Yeah.
Mr. No Humanity Left.
Yeah.
But the memory triggers his need to try and be human for a moment. And he can't fucking do it. So I didn't even ask if we could swear.
You definitely can, my friend.
This place. You look at the old pictures and they all want you to think it's all so fucking simple, but it wasn't what they say, you know?
He can't fucking do it.
Mm.
And he starts to stumble over his words.
Yeah.
He begins a sentence and then ends it, and begins it and ends it.
And it's not like his character at all. His character's assured and fuck off.
Fuck off. Yeah, and, you know, get rid of him. Fuck him.
Yeah.
And this time he's like, it's you look at old pictures and, well, I don't, it's just not what, and he can't say,
it's amazing.
I had a hard life.
Yeah.
It was really hard.
Because that might be weak
because
somehow.
Because it's whatever it is, but he's not human anymore. He can't do it. And he's trying to stumble over this stuff. And you can see Brian Cox as well, looking out at Dundee, just tapping into this
so
history.
Many layers.
All these layers. And then Alan Ruck. And the reason I picked this moment is because it contains what I think is the best line in all of the seasons.
Sure.
And I have a feeling if he writes the third season, it'll still be the best line.
Yeah, he has stiff competition. It's an incredibly written series. Yeah.
And Alan Ruck goes, tell us a story, Dad. And he goes, huh? What? He goes, tell us a story, you know, from the old days. Because he thinks his dad is going into this sort of like reverie and stuff.
And he is sort of the softest one of all of them, I think.
Exactly,
isn't he?
And Brian Cox goes, "Why you want me to talk about old fucking Rosebud?" And then he says the line, "Rosebud was a dollar bill.
Ooh,
it's whatever I had to do to get the fuck out of here."
Amazing.
And then Alan Ruck taps him on the shoulder and goes, good story, Dad.
it's just the economy.
Yeah. But I just thought that, Jesse sat there.
Yeah.
thought it, wrote it. I believe Jesse wrote that episode.
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah. And there's a brilliant writer's room of other people
of course, contributing.
But I think Jesse's all over it in terms of the polish. Yeah.
I mean, I thought that line encapsulates an entire franchise.
Yeah, yeah, no, it really does.
In one fucking phrase.
Yeah.
And married to the performance in that moment. I saw that and I just had to, it's one of those moments you pause, you know. I did it, there's one in Mean Streets, so I couldn't talk about it because it's a film. But
they're banned, absolutely.
Fuck, I spit on film in this TV podcast. But yeah, same thing, you know. Keitel has a moment where he improvises a line. He cracks up and starts laughing.
Yeah.
It's pure real.
Yeah.
And it's one of those ones you just have to pause and just take a breather.
Where suddenly the camera sort of, it's not there.
It's not there and you're just, because what you want to do as an actor is to just pierce through the screen and do something to the other person that's watching it and send their brain and their life in a particular direction. I mean, that's, you can't do it alone as an actor. You need the writing, you need the direction, you need everything to work together for this moment. And I felt that line in that moment, in that scene in that car, that's what it did. It just brought everything together, like waves going back in the ocean before it crashes down.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
As it does in the series. Yeah.
I think it's full of moments like that. It's a hell of an episode. It's the episode I think most people were talking about the next day after it showed on Sky Atlantic because of the rap.
The rap. The insane rap.
Is it the V&A in Dundee? They obviously had to find a swanky building in Dundee and that's the newest place in Dundee. So it's by the water. It looks kind of cool. And so they're there for some kind of 50 years in journalism thing.
Yeah.
He's gone back to open a journalism school. Named after him, he's reluctant, but he sort of did it. And somehow his son, which son is it, Kendall, thinks the best way to honour his dad on this auspicious occasion is to like whip his jacket off to reveal a baseball shirt and do a rap.
It's just this
white guy rapping,
absolute lowest of the low. You could get sycophancy and it's incarnate.
Check it. Born on the North Bank, king of the East Side, 50 years strong, now he's rolling in a sick ride, handmade suits, raking in loot, five-star general, y'all best salute, yo, bitches be catty, but the king is daddy,
rock all the haters, where we go, roll Ken back, W.A. Swiggle on the
decks, I read it, it is burning my eyes, but I cannot look away.
L to the O.G.,
because his character arc is extraordinary,
extraordinary,
isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely extraordinary.
And that performance is extraordinary,
and apparently he made the wrap up. Himself?
No.
Yeah,
I mean,
Jeremy
that's
Strong
actually
did
brilliant.
It.
Because
Jeremy Strong is into hip hop, likes rapping a little bit, used to do that a little bit, and just thought, this has to be real. Like, if I'm going to do this, I really need to do this.
Love
so he
it.
Went
Love
away, came
methods.
Up with it, and came up with this, you know, white boy rap.
It was one of those ones where you were just looking, and it was. I think there's even a character watching saying, "It's burning my eyes, but I can't look away."
Because it's, I think reading about that moment, it had to be a bad rap.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He had to do it badly, you know?
Yeah.
Even though he had to kind of be good at it, but it kind of had to be shit.
Yes,
as well.
You sort of had to admire the fact that he was keeping going and there was some sort of rhythm. But yeah, the actual idea, just the, my toes are curling up thinking about it now. so there's another series coming of this. And I think when we leave without doing spoilers, obviously this is quite a recent show, so we can't really talk about it in too much depth. But it always seems to end on something catastrophic is about to happen or has just happened.
Yeah.
And they're brilliant at this because they don't do like a cliffhanger every episode because they trust us just to be involved in the characters' lives and want to come back and watch it again next time. But the series always seemed to end on, oh my God!
Yeah.
And there's a real, just a huge rift opened up essentially in the last, have you seen the last episode of series two?
Oh yeah.
So that was a jaw-dropping moment.
Oh, yeah.
So series three, like, what's going to happen? So I went to this, like, a press event thing where they showed the end of the series again. I don't really know why. It was just fun, I guess. And Brian Cox was there and Jesse Armstrong. And said, you know, now we don't seem to live in a moral universe anymore. Like, the baddies keep winning and they keep on getting, like, the important jobs and stuff. Is that going to be reflected in where Succession goes next? And obviously, they didn't say yes or no because they're mean and they wouldn't tell us. But, I mean, it seems to be that, you know, this family could just take over the world.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think just from an audience point of view, I have this theory about wealth on screen and why the viewing figures are astronomical for shows that display people living a kind of affluent life that we might all secretly want to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they travel by helicopter and they travel by all this stuff and But, you know, things like The Crown and Entourage.
I would say even things like Ab Fab. Like there are aspirational comedies where you wouldn't want to be those characters necessarily, but you want a fridge full of champagne
and you want
a huge house with a basement kitchen.
Exactly.
And
I think there are shows that people love because they're fans of the show.
Yeah.
But I think new shows that come along that display this sort of life that Suits, Mad Men, like all this stuff.
The aesthetic doesn't quite matter
if the narrative is good.
Yeah.
They're living at the aesthetic and their lifestyle seems to be free of financial worry.
Yes, which of course and we most love of it. Our lives aren't.
Exactly, so we just lap it up.
Yeah, I think
I think the more the Roys continue to get wealthier, more powerful and take over the world, the more audiences are going to want to watch it.
I think you're right. I think we like watching that. And even though it's unique, I think, this show, or maybe not unique, but almost in terms of the things I like to watch. I mean, the show you're in, Home, is a universally almost lovely collection of people, flawed, you know, with their various, you know, sort of faults. But it's a feel-good show with and all the people are kind of appealing and attractive in lots of different ways, and you kind of want to spend time with them because they're nice. And this show is, there is literally not one man, Jack of the dramatist persona, who you'd even want to brush sleeves on the street. They're all such arseholes. But somehow you still want them to win.
Yeah, well, it's the old narrative.
It's a magic trick.
It's the old narrative trick of the world. You're evil or good within the context of the world.
Yeah, true.
So in a world full of villains, the good guy is the bad guy in the movie. And you know, likewise, and this is a world full of villains.
It is.
And so the more good you are, the more anti-story you are.
Yes, you're right. You're going against the tide.
You're going against the tide.
Yeah.
But you're going with what the audience, with the audience's morals.
Yeah. It's an amazing show. Thank you so much for bringing it. I like it when people bring recent things because I can remember them. Anyway, before you go, please will you delve into the Box of Delights and pick a question.
Have you ever voted for someone on a reality show?
I bet you haven't.
I have not.
Thought so. Your mind's on higher things, Yusuf, let's face it.
I have, however, called in to try and win 500,000 by answering.
Really?
What is the name of the Queen? Elizabeth.
Thinking no one else will
Jeremy,
get this.
Jeremy, you know, all of a sudden I'm like, it's Elizabeth, obviously. I'm going to ring and try and win £500,000.
Did you win?
I did not win. I did that quite a lot until I realised I was being suckered in.
Absolutely.
But I have never voted for somebody on a reality show.
Fair dinkum.
It takes a lot for me to actually watch.
Have you watched any reality shows?
In the beginnings of The Apprentice, I think I got suckered in.
Yeah, I think we all did a bit. Yeah.
I don't think I got into a Big Brother or anything like that.
See, the early ones were pretty good.
Yeah. Mm. My wife, her guilty pleasure, I'm totally going to out her on this podcast. She loves all that Real Housewives.
Oh, really?
She hates that she loves it.
Her.
She hates herself for it.
Yeah, I've never missed a Made in Chelsea, so, you know.
Oh, there we are. Yeah. No, those, I've every once in a while, I'll just sort of be like, what's happened to Amy? Or whatever. God, Amy looks weird. You know, and I'm like, oh, God, stop looking at it. Damn it.
Oh, thank you for coming and goodbye.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening. You can find links to the YouTube clips from today's episode on our Twitter feed at Box Delights Pod. Come and say hello. Bye.
Kezia McDonald.
And I'm Ellie Gibson.
And this is our new show, Extra Life.
It's basically us talking to funny people about video games.
When I was a kid, it was Grand Theft Auto.
There's Sinclair ZX Spectrum.
We talk about the games people remember from when they were kids and what they're playing now.
Guitar Hero.
The Last of Us 2.
Combat on the Atari 2600.
No, I love Pokemon.
Anyway, find us anywhere you get your podcasts.
Extra Life.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.